Scientists are debating whether an ancient fish that survived the dirtiest days of the Hudson and Connecticut rivers should be the first fish ever removed from the endangered species list. Lauren Dockett reports. The short-nosed sturgeon was given endangered species status in the early 70s, when it was threatened by river pollution and overfishing. But the fish has made such an amazing comeback in the Hudson that some local scientists are now pushing federal agencies to delist it. Such a decision could be made by the start of next year. John Waldman is an aquatic conservation biologist and professor of biology at Queen's College. He's kept a close eye on the fish's recovery in the Hudson.
In the case of the Hudson, we have what is likely the greatest sturgeon recovery for any sturgeon species in the entire world. It's been estimated that if you took all the short-nosed sturgeon and all the other almost 20 rivers along the East Coast and totaled them, the Hudson River would still have more.
Like other sturgeon, the short-nose and its caviar were popular food, and it was often caught in the nets of its prize larger cousin, the Atlantic sturgeon. In 1973, the Endangered Species Act halted fishing for the short-nose, and Waldman says new food sources, a relative lack of dams on the Hudson, and other factors also contributed to the fish's population boom.
Another is the habitat protection and habitat quality that was afforded by the Clean Water Act of 1972. So after 1972, these fish suddenly had their optimal spawning habitat back again, and that probably led to a major part of this recovery.
The short-nose is a bottom-feeding fish that gets its name from its blunted snout. It can grow as large as 5 feet, has a white belly and a muddy olive back, and a set of whiskers called barbels that hang down over a wide mouth. But its most distinctive feature is 5 rows of pointy, dinosaur-like protrusions called scutes that act as armor against predators and cover its body from head to tail. Tom Savoy works for the Connecticut Office of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection and has seen some very healthy short-nose in the Connecticut River.
The fish in the Connecticut, lower Connecticut River are probably among the most robust of any of the East Coast populations. We've seen some fish that other people say are the largest or the heaviest specimens of that species.
Despite their substantial size, Connecticut's short-nose still only number between 2,500 and 4,000, an improvement from earlier years, but not great. And Savoy explains that the fish concentrate in certain areas, making them vulnerable to a variety of threats.
Could be something as simple as an oil spill, and if it happened at the wrong time of the year, there was a large number of fish concentrated and they weren't moving around much, say during a cold water period, that would have a significant long-term impact.
Scientists are aware that the short-nose aren't faring equally well in each river system, and some are asking the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration to select just the Hudson population for delisting. The Endangered Species Act does allow for the delisting of specific populations within a species, and NOAA says it will consider the option. They plan to examine the latest counts, hold a public comment period, and have a decision by the start of next year. Professor Waldman believes that whatever the NOAA's decision, the short-nose will ultimately be fine.
They are an ancient group biologically, evolutionarily, and they just go on and on. They have a life history and a morphology and just a way of making a living in the aquatic world that just persists as long as we give them a chance.
Fossil records reveal that the fish has already survived for 200 million years, and conservation efforts in the last 40 years have helped keep this aquatic dinosaur swimming among us. Lauren Dockett, WSHU News.